Welcome back to Open Line. Bart Singleton sitting in for Fred Anderle on WOSU 820. This is a Friday open forum. Your turn. This is the first open forum I've had this year. For whatever that might mean. But and there's plenty to talk about. What do you think? What's on your mind these days? The presidential primaries? Still talking about that. Are you satisfied with the apparent winners or not? What do you think about the historical aspects of the whole show? You got Republican John McCain, the oldest, Democrat Barack Obama, the first African-American, Democrat Hillary Clinton, first woman to come so close. You think the Democrats are going to be able to pull it together for the campaign, or do you think the Republicans are going to hold them off? What do you think about the death of the SUV? Seems that way to me anyway. Done in by $4 gas. GM shutting down three truck plants, one of them here in Ohio. The Ford F-Series pickup unseated by Japanese sedans as the best-selling vehicle. Ford pickup sales were down 31% in the month of May, and it's pretty much because of $4 and more for gas now, and concern about how much it might go up. NBC Nightly News the other night, they had a story about a man with a 2002 Ford Explorer. He owes more to the bank than it's worth on a used truck lot. His final word, I'm stuck. Are you stuck? Are you driving a gas hog, a real pig? Is it killing you every time you go to the pumps? What are you doing about it? Or you think cheap gas is going to come back? I don't see how that's going to happen anytime soon. Airlines, high fuel costs. United's pulling some of its older gas hog jets are out of service, cutting domestic service, eliminating more jobs. What was it, 1,100 jobs? Was that it? Continental Airlines top execs say they'll work for no salary for the rest of the year. They're trying to cut costs to make up for what airline or jet fuel is costing them. The housing market, mortgage meltdown. The Dispatch has another series this week. And of all things, Ed McMahon, former Johnny Carson sidekick, is in danger of losing his multi-million-dollar Beverly Hills home to foreclosure. I don't know. He's had an accident, I think a broken neck. He's not working a lot lately. And maybe that has something to do with his situation, but he apparently is in trouble. So it's that mortgage meltdown is happening everywhere. A lot of unexpected fallout from that situation. Well, let's see what's on your mind. We got a line for you, 292-8513, 292-8513, and they tell me that the email is working again. So if you want to send us an email comment, we're at WOSU.org. Let's go to Bob. Hello, Bob. Welcome to Open Line.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
You had some good comments leading up to right basically what I wanted to talk about, and it's this cost of fighting global warming. Today, the report is out. It's going to cost an estimated $45 trillion to do what they want to do with this global warming.
Which report and who put it out?
Actually, you can read the report. It's on the WOSU Open Line forum. It's posted there, and it's called "75 Trillion Needed to Combat Global Warming." It's the IAEA or six. It's one of the major international organizations.
Okay.
But it's posted there. $45 trillion needed to combat global warming.
Now, I cannot comprehend that figure. I just can't.
Well, I'm going to put it in perspective. That's three times the U.S. annual GDP. That is almost the world's annual GDP. That is how much we're talking. Now, the reason I have a problem with it is because if you look at the temperature numbers, you know, we're creating all these problems because we believe in this man-made global warming thing. Well, the problem is, if you take a look at the temperatures, which are posted on the OSU form again, global temperatures have not risen since 1998. In the last 16 months, temperatures have dropped by more than they have risen in the last 100 years, believe it or not. We have dropped a full 0.75 degrees Celsius. We are back below the temperatures where we were in 1979 when we were talking about the coming ice age. So what we've done, what we have here is we have a period where we have rapidly decreasing temperatures while we're supposed to be having rapidly increasing, and yet we're still talking about spending $75 trillion on what I would call, you know, this utter nonsense. And I think society needs to start asking itself, you know, is fighting global warming, the speculative science, worth $75 trillion? Now, we could pay for better educations, have a tax cut, get lower energy prices. But my point is, in order to buy into these arguments, we are, our society is going to go through a huge expense for tremendous speculation. And I was wondering, what do you think? You think it's worth it? You think the voters are going to go for it? You think we're going to keep tolerating these high gas prices?
I think that's going to be a pretty tough sell. If you're going to ask the voters to cough up the cash for this thing tomorrow afternoon sometime, I think it would be a pretty tough sell. I don't know what's going to happen in that regard, but certainly whatever's done, I suppose doing nothing is going to – what's the price tag of doing nothing? Anybody come up with that yet?
Well, the price tag of doing nothing would be that, nothing. I mean, if we, the bottom line is we as a society have to decide what we're going to spend our money on, and do we want to spend it on pulling CO2 out of – I mean, you went down the list of the true cost of global warming. I mean, we're putting auto workers out of work. We're threatening to destroy the coal industry. We're talking about $8 gallons of gas with a carbon tax. We're talking about huge costs involved that will literally destroy this economy, and we're doing it all because of this global warming nonsense. We have gasoline all over the place, but we can't tap it. We can't refine it. You know, we're protecting ANWR. I mean, all these costs are essentially self-imposed. There's even one study or one report out today how we're not able to repave the roads because asphalt's going through the roof. I mean, I just don't think society grasps what the path we're on, because we're betting our literally our economic security on this global warming, and it can literally destroy this economy. And yet, our politicians seem to be, you know, steamrolling right down that path. I mean, $75 trillion, that's more than the liability we have for Social Security and Medicare. Put it in perspective. And we want to leave that bill to our children.
I don't know what to do about this global warming. I'll tell you, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, the way I feel depends pretty much on what was the last documentary I saw. Because I see these stories on the one hand, and then I see something on the other hand, and I talked to different people who believe different things, and I don't know what to think.
Well, there's one post on your website called Global Temperatures Have Not Risen Since 1989, and it goes through and it shows the science. And I think if you actually take the time to look at the science, you'll realize that this is probably the worst science you could ever imagine. And the fact is the data is coming out against them, and that's what they've – I mean, we've got the media sold themselves on this, academic have sold themselves, the governments have sold themselves. The problem is – the model doesn't accurately reflect reality, and the temperatures are turning now, and now you're going to have all these people who's going to have their total credibility destroyed because we're entering a cooling phase, as the data shows, and not a warming phase, and they're going to have to answer for that.
Bob, thanks for the suggestion. Sure. I'll take a look at the website. Okay. Hello, Sonny.
Yes.
Welcome to Open Line.
Thanks. Something on a lighter note here. I'm kind of upset by all this doom and gloom and scolding, but I understand what's going on. Anyhow, earlier, it was either last week or this week, they were talking about ways to eat healthier that are easy and anybody can do, and that doesn't take any huge change in lifestyle. And I realized that 15 years ago, I bought a bread machine, and I have not bought a loaf of store-bought bread since. Everything I do is made here at home. I mean, all the bread we eat and the rolls, and I can choose what ingredients, the whole wheat, lots of whole grains. I go to the bulk food store and get 5-pound bags of bread mix and use that sometimes. Anyhow, you can really bake up healthy bread very easily. And with a bread machine, you can have it ready for you first thing in the morning.
Is that the machine that makes your house smell so good?
Yeah, it does that too. And also, in the summertime, I go ahead and let it bake in the machine. because it keeps the whole kitchen and the house cooler. In the winter, I usually take the dough out after the dough stage and form it into the loaves of whatever pan size I want to use, or into buns or something, and bake those in the oven. But the whole thing is, you can absolutely have extreme healthy bread that you make yourself, and it feels really good not to ever buy a loaf of bread in the store.
You got me hungry already. So.
Yeah, well, it's easy to do. Get you a machine, read the directions, piece of cake.
Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Let's go to George. Hello, George. Welcome to Open Line.
Good morning, Bob.
George, yes. I was wondering if you were that George.
I didn't hear the click, so I mean, you know, what was I going
to
do?
We got a new switchboard here. I'm just getting used to it, but it's really
great.
Slick, and it works a lot better than the old one.
Well, it's got a great sound, and then, you know, you kind of miss that little click because that's kind of like your cue that you're on. Hey, listen, I did you see the Dispatch front page today above the fold?
Heads roll at the Air Force?
Well, not that so much that heads. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the photograph that's on the front page above the fold.
The soldiers.
That's exactly right. Not just the soldiers, but
the funeral for the soldier in Zanesville.
Yeah,
yes.
I kind of want to register my complaint with the Dispatch on a level of disrespect that I see them doing here. You know, I understand the situation at hand here. But to take a photograph and the deceased, the soldier in his casket there, and put it on the front page of the Dispatch is just beyond the pale, in my view. And especially when, as a companion piece beside that photograph, the article reads, "Bush Team Twisted Iraq Facts Panel Says." Well, the panel is headed up by Senator Jay Rockefeller, and, you know, I got problems with what Jay Rockefeller says. I'm not sure I believe him any more than Patrick Leahy. Those with friends like that, I don't think America needs enemies. But my point here is that in life, as you well know, there are two seminal events, birth and death. Birth, a happy, elating type, full of enthusiasm and hope of the new life that's been spawned. And, of course, death is the conclusion of a life. But especially painful is that death when it comes at the hands of when it's a military individual in fighting in a war. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it is of biblical proportion of the disrespect shown by the Dispatch to feature this thing for cheap propaganda. Cheap propaganda to tie it in, and they down to Dispatch that it just happened to be coincidence. Well, I know better. The front page of any newspaper, they fight for what gets positions over there, and it all has meaning. You know, if you go back to yesterday's paper, on the other hand, you have a messianic proportional size picture of Barack Obama on the front page, smiling and all happied up.
Can he win Ohio?
That's exactly right. And what I'm saying is that the mainstream media, they're not even bashful about being in the tank for the Democratic Party. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing for the Republicans if they could count on a major newspaper to be in their hip pocket like the Dispatch is with the Democrats. And so the bottom line
is, an extraordinary turn of events this is. There was a time when the Dispatch was lambasted from many quarters for being a mouthpiece for the GOP. And George, you say it's been a 180-degree turnaround? Is that?
Well, I mean, it's no question about it. The senior editor down there has been an apologist for the Democratic Party for as long as I've read his Sunday editorials.
Listen, I'd like to suggest something about this photograph. It was the funeral of Army Specialist Kyle Norris. Story goes on to say that I looked at this picture. I read this story, American flags, 65 miles of roadway from Zanesville down to the Ohio River, lined with flags, 18,000 flags, a tribute to this young soldier. And there is the photograph, as you say, on the front page of the Dispatch with James, with Specialist Norris' mother in tears, and the soldier himself in his casket. This appears... I wouldn't read too much into this as far as whether it's propaganda or not. I would guess that this photographer, Neil Lauren, must have had the family's permission to be there. And for all anyone knows, this photograph will be of great comfort to this family.
Yeah, Bob, I did check with the dispatch earlier this morning, and the photographer is Neil Lauren, and he did, in fact, have the family's permission to be in the church and take the photograph.
Well, you ought to take that into consideration.
Well, then. But the family had no the dispatch had carte blanche use, and what I'm saying is if you would have cropped out the casket portion of that photograph and shown the sergeant and the two sergeants comforting the mother, that would have been fine, and the story is great. But with the casket there as a nuanced reminder of the evilness of the Republicans and George Bush, this is a transparent propaganda piece by the dispatch.
Well, it may be that, and it may be something else. I would suggest that it's a photograph that shows what happens to people in time of war.
Well, but once
and
again,
we ought to see that now and then, I would suggest.
Listen, you want to pay your respects to the fallen, you go to the churches or to the funeral homes. You don't go down to the corner drugstore and buy a newspaper to check it out. And that's what I'm saying. And this was a major mistake by the dispatch because it disrespected that soldier's full measure that he gave for this country. Bottom of the page, bottom of the fold, there's a 3-inch by 2-inch piece on D-Day. And over a half a million Allied forces died. Gave full measure to make sure that the forces of evil, the Nazis, did not reign supreme on the globe. And once again, the dispatch, they're not interested in that. They're interested in fanning the evilness of George Bush and the evil Republicans. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. Thank you, George. I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's good to hear from you. Let's go to Dave. Welcome to Open Line, Dave.
Hi, this is Dave, and I love your program. I love Fred's program. I'm a little shocked by what you said a little earlier about you weren't sure whether or not you believe the global warming was outside the argument is valid.
No. What I said was that I'm I don't know.
I understand. A lot of people are in the same boat.
I'm kind of one way, and then I'm kind of another way. I look at the documentaries, and I get persuaded. And I don't know. It's the last one I saw that does the job. And then the next day I see another one and I'm off in a different direction.
I think a lot of people are in the same boat. Can I suggest the June issue of Scientific American had a cover story on the cost of climate change. And I find Scientific American is a great resource. It has articles on climate change in almost every edition. Something else I would suggest a lot of people do is the guy that started the whole campaign of question the science is a strategist called Frank Luntz. And if you Google on Frank Luntz and global warming, one of the first things that will pop up is an 06 interview between him on the BBC where they asked him about that because he started the question global warming campaign. And he admitted that it was a bunch of crap, basically. And they asked him, the administration has been, continues to do this. And he said, well, it's not my business what the administration does with my advice. Something else I suggest is tune in to Tom Hartman. I think he regularly has global warming deniers on his program and on WVKO. And your station is great, but I love WVKO too because it's the one station, 1580, where you can hear both sides.
You can barely hear both sides. What's wrong with their signal? It sounds to me like they've got some kind of transmitter problem over there, like they're broadcasting out of the bottom of a well or something. It just sounds like it's coming over on a telephone line.
They've been having problems getting the antenna.
Because they do have money trouble over there.
Yeah. And by the way, I went and donated $100 on their website because I think good. Someone was talking about having a good orchestra in town is important. I think it's even more important to have good radio stations. And your radio station and WVKO, I think, are well worth the extra effort of people supporting. And I think I'm lucky I'm here in Gahanna. I got great reception because their antenna's here.
Okay.
I know they are working on getting their antennas positioned, and it should be better.
Good. Thank you for the call. We got lines for anyone who's interested. 292-8513, 292-8513. This is your Friday open forum. Had an interesting week, but now it's your turn. What's on your mind? What would you like to talk about? Let's go to, Steve. Is it Steve? Welcome to Open Line, Steve.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm here. This is Steve, and I'm tired of having this good radio station get hijacked by those right-wing screamers. I wish they would just stay on the stay on their Fox News network where I don't have to listen to
Hang on. We're not going to be referring to any other callers by name.
Sorry, I didn't call him by name.
Yeah.
I
just want to make sure we don't, because the whole idea is to be have as many opinions as possible and to be as civil as should be.
Except that he gets on there and he screams regularly, and I recognize his voice, so I don't have to know his name because everybody recognizes.
Well,
he's got his forum. He just hijacks. He usually hijacks Fred, and this time at least you talk to him.
Well, no one's doing any hijacking. We're just
having a conversation. They have hijacked your radio station. Every time there's an open forum, there's a gang of those guys that line up and get on there and grab it. They keep going on, and Fred lets them go.
We have regular callers, and we have new callers, other callers that respond to things that are said by regular. I think we have pretty good balance overall.
Well, I'm going on record.
Anyway, we do what we can.
You're losing the balance, and I'm sorry to have it. Here,
right. Okay, what else? What else is on your mind, Steve?
No, that's enough.
Okay,
all right. That's what got me going.
We do what we can.
All right.
Let's go to Dave from Powell. Welcome to Open Line, Dave. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Well, I wanted to talk to you, Bob. I always appreciate having a chance to talk to you. And I'm just glad that my name wasn't drugged through the mud and I wasn't called one of these screamers by that MoveOn.org operative.
Wait,
and,
hang on.
Yeah, what?
Let's keep it civil.
I'm keeping it simple.
Right,
I just told it like it is, and, you know, I love to do that. But, you know, it's a crying shame, Bob, because, you know, I wanted to talk about big media and the real axis of evil. But the caller you just had, and I know I'm not referring to him in any derogative way.
Let's just get away from this other business and talk about what you really wanted to talk about in the first place.
Well, I guess the thing you could talk about is how big media has been hijacked. And it's well documented, and you had a caller that pointed it out today with the Dispatch. It's been hijacked by the left, and this election cycle is a perfect example. You know, we've got one candidate, so-called Republican, who, in my opinion, is nothing more than a rhino, John McCain, that was handpicked by the media. This guy was absolutely kaput. No opportunity at all to win the selection until the media jumped in. I mean, he barely even had enough money to fill up his bus, run around the country, and nobody was following him, nobody nothing, this and that, until big media got on his bandwagon and started backing him up and bad-mouthing the other candidates and stuff. And then you look on the other side of the coin, the big media has all but anointed Obama, is the messiah, he's a rock star.
Wait a minute. Why would the big media, if it's anointed Obama, at the same time be promoting John McCain to knock off Obama? Why would they do that, Dave?
Because he was the easiest candidate to take to the woodshed and to beat. That was their whole game plan. Get a rinky-dink a rhino in there. He's not even a Republican. You can't even really call him a Republican. He backs up anything that, you know, Teddy Kennedy or Harry Reid.
Nah, I see. This is so Machiavellian. I had trouble following, but I see where you're going.
Yeah, okay. But now let's look at the other side of the coin. You've got this Obama character who, according to what I hear on the radio and you read on websites, he's got more shady characters than Al Capone back in the heyday over there in Chicago, and now he's the so-called messiah, and they're comparing him with John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. I mean, give me a stinking break. What has this character ever done? You tell me that, Bob. You're a media guy. What has Obama ever done credentials for him to lead the greatest country in the world?
Seems to me you could ask pretty much that same question of a lot of presidents we've had in this country.
Well, and you know what?
Presidential candidates.
Yeah, that's a good point. But my whole problem is this. Let's get back to the main focus. The main focus is the media. Big media has been hijacked by the left. It's well documented how much money that socialist or communist, whoever he is, George Soros, has put in to fund these clowns from MoveOn.org and these other groups and stuff to do nothing but carry the water for the people on the left. And, you know, look at the media. You don't have any
Dave, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're going to a break. But thank you for the lesson.
Hey, I'll see you at the golf course, Bob.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll be back after these messages on NPR, WOSU 820 NPR News.
Next time on Day to Day.
Triumph, the insult comic dog.
On public radio?
NPR, come on. I've got important things to do, like poop in your parking lot.
Turns out TV's cursing canine cannot resist plugging the latest projects of his handler, Robert Smigel.
The Jew needs money. I can't carry him on my back for another year.
Spend some time with Triumph.
I beg of you.
Next time on Day to Day.
I joke with you.
Day to Day will be here in just about 30 minutes at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning, I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning. It is 87 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:31. WOSU Public Media celebrates the second annual summer online auction. From art to jewelry to travel, you'll find items of all sorts. Bid now through 5 p.m. on June 9th. Log on often to see items added daily. Check out the second annual summer online auction at WOSU.org/auction. On your drive to work, start your mornings with the latest news from Morning Edition, now on WOSU 89.7 FM, beginning at 5 a.m.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club, where everyone is welcome to be a part of the live discussion at weekly luncheons. More information at www.columbusmetroclub.org.
Welcome back to Open Line. Bob Singleton in for Fred Anderle on WOSU 820. We are in the middle of a Friday open forum. Your turn. Let's hear what you have to say. We've got... I apologize. I'm having a little trouble with the switchboard. I can't read the numbers for some reason. But hello, caller. Go ahead. Welcome. Is this Rick?
This is. Hold
okay.
On
welcome, Rick. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go
sorry,
ahead.
Sorry. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah. I am so sick. I just pledged, my wife and I just pledged from you to you all $2,000 because I love to listen to your program every morning. But I would go with the previous caller, not the caller that just finished talking to you. He's so sickening. No disrespect now, Bob.
Now, hold on. We're not going to be talking about each other on this show.
Could I say something, please? You listened to him. You didn't listen to the other caller. If I hear that guy one more time over the radio again.
I'm not even sure which caller you're talking about.
Bob,
and I'm not
going to
talk. I'm sorry. That's the end of it. We're not going to sit here and talk one caller talking about another. That's just not the way this show works, and we're not going to do it. So let's go to Ryan, is it? Is this Ryan?
Yeah, it's Brian.
Brian. Hello, Brian. Welcome to Open Line.
How you doing, Bob? I'm
doing fine.
Yeah. Listen, here is the way I'm going to play this, because this has been bothersome for a long time. The media bias did the Dispatch. And your station, I have a great admiration for you and Fred. I've listened to you for years. But the way I'm going to play it, and it came out of an interview that Mark Haynes and Aaron had on CNBC today with a couple economic advisors from the Obama and McCain camps, and I thought it was just awful. And
what was
the way they were manipulating, and the way it was obviously a bias in the direction of the Obama camp, and here's the way I'm going to play it. I am going to put my money where my thoughts are, and that means as of today, I stop listening to CNBC or watching CNBC. I am going to cancel my subscription to the Dispatch effective immediately. I just got the bill the other day, and I saw this article today. And that's not the first article. They've had caskets on the front page. I mean, they've done this consistently. I'm not going to pledge to radio programs such as yours if I continue to hear bias. And I'm just going to start, and I'm going to create a movement to where we will not support by watching ads or listening to programs that we feel are extraordinary bias. And I'm tired of people saying that I'm nuts because I think you're biased. And again, I have a great admiration for you, Bob. And Fred, but that's it. I've had enough. I'm stopping. I'm going to stop listening. I'm going to stop taking the Dispatch. I'm going to try to look at even C-SPAN is more balanced than your program. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Again, I bid you farewell. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Let's go to Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, I heard the click, Bob. Well, how you doing?
Welcome.
This anti-media bias thing has been going on for a long time. You think people would have figured it out by now, but it's always either one way or the other. Obama, I think people pay attention to what he's got to say, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people do that complain against him. And this, the deal with the media, well, you could say the other way around. We put up with the right for 8 years in the media, and now it's turning back the other way a little bit, and all of a sudden these guys are getting all upset that it's not going their way. So,
well, something's going on because we've certainly got some agitation out there in radio land.
Yeah, well, you know, I listen to you guys a lot, and I listen to the other liberal station, and I've listened to Rush Limbaugh and them, the other guys, and they, you know, it. You got to listen to everything. You got to know your enemy, and if you want to make them your enemy, or you can try to heal society and get along with people too. And this polarization idea that these guys are trying to bring out, I don't think is good for anybody. But thanks. I don't want to talk about other people.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Let's go to Quinton. Quinton.
Yeah.
Welcome. You're on the air. Welcome to Open Line.
Thanks, Bob. I was going to talk about the Dispatch editorial about Pray for Change as another point of bias. You know, they're trying to bias the religious community to vote for the liberals when they don't know anything about the religion that they're talking about.
I'm not. I didn't see the. Where was the? When was this editorial in? Is it today's?
Well, it's today's, baby. You know, and Okay. Obviously, if they're saying Pray for Change, the man who uses change in his slogan is Obama. You know, so Pray for Change. Everybody, get down on your knees and pray for Obama.
Well, it was wasn't McCain talking about change the other night himself?
He's a string along. He's just kind of the Me Too candidate. You know, Obama is kind of calling the shots, and McCain's got a Me Too. Response to all of it. So yeah, he amens the sermon after it's been preached, but we know what kind of church that Obama goes to, and if anybody finds anything Christian in that, they can't lecture anybody on the faith because they don't know the doctrines themselves, and neither does the Dispatch. They talk about one of the examples is the Catholic man who was denied communion after he backed Obama. Obama is not pro-life, he's pro-death, he's pro-choice, he's pro-abortion, and the Catholic Church has said that anybody who advocates or supports somebody is against the Lord's will. He's supporting the death of the innocent. Therefore, you cannot be anything but judged by God as having a part in murder when you support abortion. That's the Catholic position. And to take Eucharist or to take the communion element, it says right in the Bible that if you do so unworthily, you're drinking damnation. So why wouldn't a priest who loves you, his parishioner, not in politics, but simply in theology, tell you that you cannot take communion because you're obviously unworthy of it. You'll be drinking damnation if you take communion today. That's what a priest's duty is inside the church, but they never seem to bring out the scripture that says that's why they bar the communion from those who are in obvious sin. That's their job. And to say that it's a political use, you know, it's just part of the bias. It's just part of the idea of selling this idea that you cannot speak out against Obama, against the left. And the previous caller had this idea of negotiating to the middle. He says we can't polarize. We can't have two points of view anymore. We have to meet in the middle. And then, of course, the communists taught us that you can always move the middle farther and farther to the left so that they're winning all the time. The communists. just negotiate by saying what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable. That's the communist negotiating point from A to Z. So after a while, you catch on to the strategy and you say, well, I'm not going for it anymore. I'm not going farther to the left. We're already too far to the left. All the communist countries are falling flat on their face, cause great misery, mass murder. That's what you see as the fruit of communism. We're not going there. This is a better country. We've got a better plan. We were founded on better plans. We got farther ahead than the rest of the world with a better plan. And it's like free market radio, the same thing. Hillary is very scary. She said she was going to take over the radio stations and shut down talk radio with the new fairness doctrine. That's very scary to me, that there won't be two points of view. There'll just be one government point of view that's allowed on the air from a Ministry of Truth, Orwell's 1984 type of Ministry of Truth will be dictating what people can say on the airwaves 100%, and you'll never be able to raise another issue. But we're really of two opposite minds. We call ourselves one nation under God, and we aren't under God, obviously, if we have half the people liking abortion, voting in favor of killing the innocent in the womb, you know, they're not under God.
Thanks for your comments, Quentin. You're out of time.
Thanks.
Okay. Talk to you later. We got Barbara, we're going to go to you for a minute, but we have an email from a listener.
Hello?
Yeah, hang on just a second. We'll go to you first. Go ahead, Barbara. Welcome
to
the
line.
I'm trying to do two things at once here.
That's okay. I just wanted to say, I was going to say some things, and then I looked at that other guy who was ranting, but first, the media didn't force all those Republicans to vote for McCain in all the primaries. I don't know why that. Someone was saying it was a biased media that forced us McCain down our throats, and it's because the if he's not a candidate that represents a lot of the Republicans, it's because the Republican Party is in total disarray right now because of the high gas prices and the bad economy and the war, which is totally unpopular. And that one guy was saying, "What has Obama done?" Well, one thing he's done is he voted for the GI Bill. About a week ago, which McCain, he didn't want to vote for it, so what he did was he hid out in California going to a fundraiser. So,
well, McCain has a slightly different version of a GI Bill that he prefers over...
but when he can't get much support for it, I agree he does have his... I agree, I've given him that credit, that he has some sort of a GI Bill, but...
What is that argument? It's a strange argument to me that there's a concern that if you make the GI Bill too lucrative... too similar to the original, will encourage soldiers or military people to drop out of the service and go to college. Well, that's the whole point in my view, isn't it? They've already done their service, and if they want to go to college, it's the opportunity that should be given. And that was the wonderful thing about the original GI Bill, that it wasn't a handout to soldiers, it was an investment in the nation, and it was the most successful investment, the greatest investment that we got so much in return.
Right, exactly, and it was a simpler situation because the war was over and there wasn't any need for the soldiers anymore. But they can't keep forcing. There's all these statistics on how they're forcing them back to Iraq. And the ratio is like less than 1-to-1 in terms of time in the United States versus time in Iraq, when it's never been less than 2-to-1. And it's just awful what they're doing to them. So if they want to get out of the service, I figure they should be able to, you know, at a certain point.
Well, that's the idea of a voluntary military, isn't it? You go in when you want. And
they also attract more people, you know, because if they have a good GI Bill, I think.
That's the way it seems to me.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Barbara. Back to the email. We got an email from a listener. Here's what the listener says. I'd like to ask, which is more disrespectful to soldiers who have lost their lives in the war, having their photos appear on the cover of their hometown paper, or the Bush administration's decision to prohibit any photos of caskets of dead soldiers coming home? Well, there's another opinion. It is a striking photo. 65 miles of highway with flags all along the way, 18,000 flags. Quite a response to this. Specialist Kyle Norris. This is Bell Valley over near Zanesville. Let's see. We've got a call. We got Sandy. Where we don't have Sandy yet. It's not working. We have John. Welcome to Open Line, John.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, good, good.
I was just sort of wondering what your thoughts were on some of Ohio's laws on GLBT, I guess, issues.
What issues?
Coming up at the end of June. Columbus and Ohio has the third largest gay population per capita in the state. And with us already amending our constitution, you know, prohibiting gay marriage in California, changing it during the middle of the month, they'll actually start issuing gender-neutral licenses. Do you think that Ohio may come back and swing around and with such a big population? I mean, because it is a very good part of the economy. We've done a lot of good things for Columbus. So do you think that it may be something that would eventually come back?
Probably will come back. Whether if it's a statewide issue, whether I don't know whether. Well, you remember the last time it was during the election. What was it?
Right.
There was something called the Defense. Wasn't it the Defense of Marriage Act? And that became a major issue in the campaign. It brought a lot of people to the polls that might not otherwise have voted. Got a lot of people all excited. Probably going to come back again. I don't know what the voters in the state of Ohio are going to do if it's a statewide issue. My opinion? Mm-hmm. You want my opinion? Ain't love grand. That's my opinion. I don't know what would happen or what's going to happen, but I know it's...
I just feel like, I mean, it's definitely... it's a hurtful thing to that community, and for having such a large community in our city.
Now specifically, what is hurtful? I don't know.
I mean,
exactly
just like limiting those kind of rights to people. To be restricted, like what I would consider civil rights as a human being, that I'm not allowed to marry someone else because of, I mean, and according to Ohio, you're actually allowed to be fired. I mean, that's something that they're petitioning right now to get on the ballot, but you can actually be fired because of your sexual orientation and a business. Like, you're not protected by law in the state of Ohio. Some states do that and some states don't.
That's right.
That's what I meant by hurtful is, like, you're denied or you can be persecuted, and having such a big population and the way that we – I don't know. I don't see the negative effects of the community. I don't see how we hurt Columbus at all or hurt the state in a sense.
I say put it on the ballot and let's see what happens.
All right.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Thank you. We got Sandy. Welcome to Open Line, Sandy.
Hi. I just have a couple comments to make. First of all, this is Open Line, so it seems to me that, you know, it's about being open-minded. And so going back to some of the calls that we got earlier, I don't think any of the people who are calling were necessarily bad people or wrong people.
Oh, no. Right. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just...
No, I know you're not. And
I just want to get... Stay away from that part specifically referring to other callers with, saying things about others. I want to, on this show, people speak for themselves. We don't call names. We don't do that sort of thing.
No, and I totally agree. I agree with you on that. And I think it's just a matter of kind of being, you know, open-minded and looking at why people feel the way that they do and perspective. On that issue, with Obama's experience, someone mentioned that. And I think Obama has a lot of experience. It's just different type of experience than we normally see in candidates. He, you know, when he left Harvard, being the editor of the Harvard Review, he could have written his ticket to anywhere. And instead, you know, he could have gone to the Supreme Court or got a job with a really lucrative law firm. Instead, he went back to his city where he thought he could be most effective, working with, you know, the poor who oftentimes are sidelined. And I just think he's gone on a different route. He has a lot of experience with being overseas, understanding what that's like. I don't know. I just think he has a ton of experience, and it's just very different. And I think it'd be good to look at it like that a little bit.
When it comes to the presidency, where do you go to get experience for that job?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we've got a lot of people who are coming from different roads. You get the military, and you got to go through Congress. And, you know, with Hillary, she was very much involved through her, you know, her work with her husband as well. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different routes, but I don't think the route that Obama has chosen ought to be discounted. It's very different. I mean, he went straight to working with the poor, and I think that's, you know, something to be said about his character.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you.
We have Mark. Welcome to Open Line, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to comment on one of the issues raised earlier about global warming and global temperatures. You had a caller, I think, at the top of the program saying that there's evidence that global temperatures have been decreasing and not increasing. I was just a little bit puzzled by that because NASA's evidence is very much contrary to that. According to the NASA website, which is open for anyone to look at, the global mean temperature has been rising really sharply, and in the last since 1998, we've had the 8 warmest years in the global temperature record, all occurring in the last decade.
You know, the thing that keeps the image that's in my mind is that Lonnie Thompson from Ohio State, who talks about the snows of Kilimanjaro, the glaciers on the top of that mountain in Africa. They're not there. They're going away. They're melting. Something's going on.
Yes, I've actually lived in Tanzania and seen Mount Kilimanjaro many times. I've never actually been to the top of it. I'm not sure my knees could take it, but the snows are shrinking fast. Now, you know, you can say that there could be many reasons for that, and you know, even that is open for debate. But there does seem to be so much evidence stacking up that what we're doing by pumping greenhouse gases into the atmosphere is having a pretty big role in global temperature rises. And the record over the last temperature readings over the last many decades, and then some of the other evidence from, you know, going back a couple of hundred years, seems pretty clear that there's a pretty steady rise. And one of the difficulties is that it flattens out sometimes. And I saw evidence the other day that we may even be in for a decade or so of flattening temperatures, possibly even slight decreases on an annual basis due to ocean current flows. And that can really throw off the debate. But the overall trend seems to be pretty solidly going up.
The overall trend in favor or in support of the overall trend of those who believe global warming is happening.
Well, the overall temperature trend, the global mean temperature, you have spots where it goes cooler for a while and then starts going up again. But the global mean seems to be going up. I'm not an expert, but I've done a lot of reading around, looking at different points of view on this, and that seems to be that's what's convincing me.
Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have Bob. Welcome to Open Line, Bob.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about a couple of things briefly. The Columbus Symphony Board being one of them, and the Dispatch was the other. So far as the board is concerned, I didn't even know that there was a major labor negotiation problem with the orchestra again until I saw it in the other paper, which was reporting on an article in the New York Times that there had been a blackout by the Dispatch about this. You know, the orchestra in a city of this size probably isn't very important in the mindset of many of your citizens. But it does reflect a great deal, in this case especially, about the motives of the board. Because the board is there, as far as I know, is supposed to preserve and promote the organization, that it is essentially a trusteeship, a stewardship. And if you have, in this case, a person, Buzz Trafford, who is an attorney and ought to know better, that is promoting an organization in a way that will kill it. And that is exactly what he is doing. I've been watching the orchestra for 30 years, and I've seen them improve by lurches, but always overall much better. And now they're playing very well. But
what has been done wrong, and what needs to be done from here on out?
Well, I think the essential problem, first of all, they have, I think, succeeded. Unless there is some kind of rescue plan, which the Dispatch or somebody else is not reporting, I think they're dead. And in this case, I certainly hope that the board members who have taken the positions that they have to oppose the orchestra, to offer salaries that were essentially unlivable.
But why would members of the orchestra board take steps to kill the orchestra?
Because they don't like it.
Does that make sense?
I'm sorry.
Does that make sense? Why would they even bother to be on the board if they weren't interested in the orchestra?
I've seen the names of the board members in the programs, and I couldn't begin to tell you who's there by sight. But apparently a lot of people can, and they've said that from what I've been told, what I've heard.
But that seems an odd way.
Well, see, I don't think the board overall, in the past, they've had a real problem with inactive involvement. People who have been on the board in name only, maybe they've written a check, but they've not been involved in the governance. And what you have now with this fellow Beadle, who has brought in, I mean, to speak as he did on Fred's show a little while back, with pride and admiration about members down in Jacksonville of the Jacksonville Orchestra going for $25,000. I mean, this is an income that, it's pretty close to the poverty level. I mean, in general terms, you'd have it's tough. It's real tough. And Tony Beadle thought that was just great. Now, I have heard that approach out of this orchestra board at several points over 30 years. And, in fact, I have dropped subscriptions twice because I have felt that they were either hostile or indifferent. That it is as though they don't want Columbus to be good. They want Columbus to be mediocre, to be just basically dead-ending and tailing around. And as I thought about other organizations, you know, sports organizations and the support of the Buckeyes, that is essentially a state-supported activity. Certainly people buy tickets, but when you look at other cities around here, just right here in Ohio, those are private organizations that the people support, that somebody in the community wanted to see.
Bob, I'm sorry. I've got to cut you off because we've just run out of time.
I'm sorry to wander on.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Thanks to all our callers. That's it for this open forum on listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the Sherrington Group, financial planners and investment consultants helping clients achieve financial independence through professional planning at sherringtongroup.com.